Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jot Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jock Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chasers. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome, my friends, to episode 84 of Jock Talk. I'm Jean-Jacques Taylor, joined by my boy Big Joe and the Big Rig. What up, player?
What up, what up? The light is 84. Red. The light is red, and we are 5x5.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's all good.
You know, I guess we should tell y'all what that means since we started saying it every show. We had a show a couple weeks ago, and this happens to everybody if you're in this business long enough. Well, we got to the end of about 30 minutes, and we're like, I don't think we're recording. There's something happened in the recording, we weren't recording. And you can't recreate the energy and all that, so we were like, damn.
Oh, it was one of the best shows. It's one of the best shows you'll never hear.
That you never heard.
Golly, it was great. It was awesome. But, yeah. So we 5x5.
To make sure that.
Go ahead.
Yeah. What does that mean?
That means we good. That means we are good. We are okay. We are fine. Everything is a go. See, if I ask you, you on the ground and I'm flying over you and I say, hey, your position solid, you go, I'm 5x5. Am I straight away to the target? I'm 5x5. You got clean underwear on? I'm 5x5. You see what I'm saying? Clean drawers is a must.
There you go.
So we find the light is red, and we 5x5, and we're not wasting none of our talent today. How about that?
Right. That means we record, we're good to go. So I think it's funny, but that's how things get added to your show organically, and then, we just out there. So we hope y'all are ready to be entertained and dazzled for the next hour or so as we get into a lot of different things, a lot of different subjects today. So yeah, I like this part of the year because it's not just football, it's a lot of other stuff going on. 84, who comes to mind?
Two guys, Patrick Creighton and Doug Cosby.
How about that? I have no complaints about either one of those. Patrick Creighton, my boy, my dog. He got the biggest hands for a wide receiver I may have ever shaken. I know y'all find that odd, but yeah, he has huge hands even for a wide receiver. Most wide receivers to me have kind of normal hands.
And he's not that big either. No,
he got big feet and big hands, and that's probably why he ended up in the NFL running 4.7.
There you go.
That is not fast for a wide receiver.
But that's why he was a great punt. Good hands. He was a great punt returner too. People forget that.
Oh, that's interesting. He why? Because of the hands?
Probably because I know him and Pac-Man used to catch multiple balls at the same time or something. Well, you know, they would catch, you know.
I need to ask him about that.
Yeah, I think he did that, too.
Matter of fact, I'm going to talk to him today for a project I'm working on. So it's ironic that we're doing show 84 on the day where we're talking to Patrick Creighton. I'll tell y'all more about the project coming up because I think you'll like it. I know you'll love it. How about that? If you're ever involved in an accident, check this out. And I almost saw one yesterday, real talk. And it involves an 18-wheeler or another person, what you need to do is pick up the phone and call 972-934-8900 and say, hey, here's my situation. It's the people at Grinning Law. And what happens is if they bring you on as a client, it's been a hell of a day for you right off the rip because they are a place, a company, a law firm that takes care of everything when you call them. You know why? They want you focused on two things, healing and renewal. Get your mind right, get your body right, then get your life back. That's how they operate. That's what they want you focused on. And to do so, they take care of everything. You need a doctor? Check this out. They'll set up an appointment for you. All you got to do, they'll find a doctor, set up the appointment. All you got to do is show up. You need a specialist. Something's wrong with you. You need a specialist. They'll find a specialist, set the appointment. All you do is show up. Now, listen to me. They don't get paid unless you get paid. All right? You hear that? Why? They want you focused on healing and renewal. They want you to get your mind right, get your body right, and get your life back. And to do that, you don't need to be worrying about lawyer fees. They don't get paid unless you get paid. And that consultation, when you make that phone call, that don't cost you nothing either. It don't get no better than that. And here's why Greening Law rocks. They ride with you through the whole process. Now, if you've never been through this, that thing can be long and intimidating and scary, contentious. You know, it can be all those things. They, however, ride with you. They tell you when to walk and when to run and when to crawl and when to slow down and when to stay still and when to kneel and when to stand up straight. They do all of that for you. All you have to do is follow the directions. And literally, they will walk you to the finish line. And again, because they don't get paid unless you get paid, you ain't got to wonder if you're the top priority. Yeah, you're the top priority because they're not getting paid unless you get paid. They grind for you. They work for you. And they will do right by you. Greening Law, 972-934-8900 is the number. Let's give Clancy Hill Jr. a call and see if he's got time to talk about the Cowboys before he heads to the owners' meetings this weekend in Orlando. But while we're waiting for Clarence, let's see if he picks up. That was reminded of Lily Tomlin. One ringy dingy, two ringy dingy.
Hello.
What's up, Doc? How you rolling?
What are y'all doing over there?
There you go. There you go, Doc. Already. Already. He always got something suspect to say before you get on his phone.
I'm like, what is going on? What's happening?
He was quoting Lily Tomlin today.
Who? Why?
Your phone was
just thinking one ringy dingy, two ringy dingy. You know, I was just having some fun. Okay. I'm in a great mood today. Workout was fantastic.
Yeah,
I set a personal record on the dumbbell bench today, so I'm just flying high.
There you go, dog.
I'm flying so high, I came home and did some baking this morning before the show.
There you go.
That's how high I was doing.
That's what I'm you
one day closer to a Speedo.
Oh, see, that's my boy right there.
That's what,
man,
I'm talking about. See, your boys support you. Whether they want to ride with you or not, they support you.
Why
he's been my boy for almost 30 years.
Oh, damn. That ain't why I been your boy. No damn Speedo. That why I ain't been your boy for no day. Chill been your boy for having a Speedo or thinking about a Speedo for 30 years, but I ain't got nothing to do with that, though.
That's hey, all man, you had different boys in your life for different reasons.
There you go.
That's all
them I'm reasons saying. Is your reasons is his reasons and y'all reasons. Yeah,
I done dirt with both of y'all, so it don't matter.
I don't know what you're talking about. I categorically deny any of that. What are you talking about?
Hey, man, dirt is relative.
I don't know. Out of the three of us,
sneaking off to the movies and could be sneaking off to the movies. In the middle of the day.
Oh, shut the hell up!
Be at work.
Shut your ass up! It's because it's with one of the three of us still married. Thank you very much. We started this shit off totally wrong today. There you go. You did that. Chill. You did that.
I didn't do anything.
Talking about a damn Speedo. Stop it, dog.
I'm just saying, just because you're married to me ain't done no dirt, though. I'm just letting this.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea. I categorically deny any of that.
I mean, we cover the Cowboys.
Moving down the road.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
We cover the Cowboys.
I don't know nothing about no dirt. I don't know nothing about
married. They got nothing to do with dirt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you will be in Orlando covering the Cowboys this weekend with Jerry Jones and the rest of the other 31 NFL owners. What are you expecting to hear from Mr. Jerry Jones this weekend?
I don't know because, you know, it's to the point where I'm at the point of are they setting Mike McCarthy up for failure?
Damn, is it like that?
You know, I mean, because let's be honest, let's look at this, and I'm just like, why bring him back if you're not giving him a chance to win? I mean, you bring him back. We all know this is a make or break season that you have to go further than you did a year ago. And what have you done to help them go further than they did a year ago? This team right now, currently constructed, is less talented than it was at the end of the season. Certainly you have a chance to make up you have a chance to add some players in the draft, but there's nothing about was setting up for the draft and what you've done so far. Even if you get Dak re-signed, and that's he was already on the team regardless. Where is the hope that this team will be better and set up to go further next year than they were last year based on what you've done?
Okay. I like that opening statement. Well, let's move on to this. How many – I just jotted down a few quick notes. How many positions do they need right now? They need a left tackle. They need a center. To me, they need a wide receiver 3. They need at least a linebacker. They need a running back.
They need a defensive tackle. Defensive tackle.
Oh, I forget.
And they need depth on defensive line.
Okay, depth. I know they need depth, but you can find some depth guys, I think. But so that's kind of like 6 starters. Like, they need another cornerback because you just can't have 3 cornerbacks. You need, because somebody gonna get hurt. But here's my question. This is a real question. Who on this team, in your opinion, can they count on from, like, internal improvement to fill some of these spots? Like, they probably say, well, Overshine will be back. He'll fill a spot. Or they might say, Mazi Smith, he's had a year. We expect him to be a real player, not just a guy taking up space. Who do you see on the roster that they have? You know, they can, you know, like, is Sam Williams a guy they say, okay, we lost Dorrance Armstrong, but we expect Sam Williams to come in and do that thing?
Well, you just named them all. I mean, those are the prime guys. I mean, for sure, you have to get a market improvement from Mazi Smith. I mean, he played 4 snaps in the playoff game. I mean, this is a first-round pick. Huge disappointment. You lose Jonathan Hankins. Mazi Smith has to step up and play and be the guy you thought he was at Michigan when you drafted. So there's no question that they're hoping, expecting, counting on. You know, Stephen Jones talked about we build through the draft and we rely on our draft picks, and so they're relying on their draft picks, and certainly the linebacker from Texas, Overshawn. You know, I think that you say they need another linebacker. I don't know if they need another linebacker. Eric Kendricks is going to come in and start. They signed him. You know, he has 8 100 tackle seasons. He's going to be the middle linebacker. You got
Evans.
Overshawn and the kid from last year.
Evans.
Is it Evans?
Right? Or is he still around?
No, it's not Evans. It's the kid from LSU. 33.
Is 33 is Evans, right? Who's 33?
It's not Evans. Okay. Yes, it's not Evans.
The fact that Kendrick, but anyway, Clark.
You know who you're talking about.
Demarcus Clark. Clark.
Clark, there you go. Sorry,
it's Clark,
about that.
Not Evans.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But so, you know, those guys, but those are your perceived starters at the position, and that's right on paper a better linebacking core than you had at any point last year.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, certainly those, it's a position they will address in the draft at some point because they, you know, you still need other guys, but you're definitely counting on Overshawn. Everybody thought Overshawn was going to be special and going to be somebody that could impact the team as a rookie last year. You know, and good news is he got hurt in August. He will have a full year. It won't be somebody like when Gallup got hurt in January. You expect him to be ready in September. He's had a full year. You know, right. So he should be good to go and ready to go coming off that torn ACL. So, you know, those are the guys easy. I think Terrence Steele should be better a year coming off his surgery. He had also had ACL surgery. You know, he definitely should be better. And again, some of the backup guys off his line that you're counting on to possibly fill in as center or guard if that's the case. But, yeah, they're expecting some improvement from within. But the question is, will it be an improvement from where? Like, Miles is going to be better than you. He has to be better than he was last year because he was awful. Is he going to be a difference maker?
Right.
You know, I talk about – you know, you need guys that's going to take you to the next level. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the bottom line is whether it's Dak or even Mike McCarthy, you know, the bottom line is the goal is to not get to the playoffs. The goal is to be better than they were last year, you know, or you're gone. You know, how do you and the thing about it is Mike McCarthy and Dak are separate, but they're the same. How can you sign Dak to a new deal and let Mike McCarthy go?
Yeah. You raise an interesting question, though. I mean, Jerry is in his 80s. He's closer to the end than the beginning. They wouldn't sacrifice a season just to set him up for failure.
It doesn't seem that way, you know, but the bottom line is by doing the same old, that's what you're doing. Because how are you – this is a make-or-break season. All these coaches in the last year of their contract, okay? And we all understand the charge is you got to go deeper in the playoffs than it was a year ago. But yet, this team is not more talented. There's nothing that Dak and CD and Mike have shown you that they can elevate lesser guys to get you to that next level. They haven't done that yet.
Right.
They need help. They need added playmen. They need added players. They don't need, you know, better players. They don't need just the same old that's going to get you to the next level. So, no, you say they're not setting you up for failure, but they're so conscious about their money that – Don't that save you money if you
know what, if man? You when you say that, you know what I think of? I don't know anybody per se like this, but I've heard of people like this. You spend your whole life saving money, and then you die having lived a very frugal life. I'm talking about at one point I'm gonna save money, then I'm gonna spend it later in my retirement. Then you die young. And you leave $17 trillion in the bank that you never spent because you was always worried about the next day and not once live for today. Now, there's always some kind of happy medium between living for today and saving for tomorrow. But, you know, they sound like they forever saving for the next year and not worrying about this year because they're so concerned about the next year. Maybe these are the scars from 2002 when they had the salary cap year where they just like, hey, we're just going to take all this hit this year and start anew with a new coach.
Yeah, and from my understanding, you know, they're going to be in worse, a similar cap shape next year. I mean, they are facing some cap issues the next 2 years. And again, I go back to the fact that when they signed Dak 3 years ago, they knew that they would have to address his contract before this year, which is why he had low cap numbers early and a big cap number the final years of the deal, which forces you to address the deal or move on. You know, in those three, when you had the cap numbers low, did you really go all in to put a winner on the field? I mean, you know, did you do all of that? Or were you still worried about the future and how the cap impact? But the bottom line is, everybody knew this day was coming.
And now it's here.
Now it's here. And you're saying that we're handcuffed and we can't do anything, and now you expect, in again, what is Dak's last year of his deal? If you don't get a deal done, certainly what is Mike McCarthy's last year? Because again, even if you say Dak is the future of my team, okay, how can you consciously put more money in Dak, not knowing that he can ever take you past where you've been, and certainly starting up with a new coach, a new offense, and a new scheme, and whatever else that comes along with it.
Right. That begs the question. We've talked all around it, but I'm just going to ask you the question point blank. What is their strategy this offseason?
Damn.
Well, it ain't all in.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, it was just some BS to get people off his back for a minute. But, like, what is the actual strategy?
You know, I've been thinking about this. I've been trying to put pen to paper. I don't know, and I don't know if they know. And I think it's, you know, it sounds good that they're – I mean, certainly they want to get Dak done. They want to get CD done. And, I mean, again, if I'm CD, if I'm them, how can I sign CD to a record contract not knowing who the quarterback is for the foreseeable future? You know, yeah. why would CD want to sign on for 5 more years at record contract and not knowing if Dak is going to be there or who the quarterback's going to be? How can I invest that type of money into a receiver, which is the same problem up in Minnesota, not knowing who the quarterback's going to be? To maximize
from the quarterback, to maximize his
production.
Right.
You know,
receiver just got to go get paid because he ain't been paid yet.
No, I understand that. But I'm just saying from a team standpoint, you put that money to a receiver not knowing who the quarterback's going to be. And so are you going to get the maximum, get the return on your investment? As you hope for paying that much for a receiver. So, I mean, I don't know, you know, because to me, if you're trying to win, you go get them deals done, you clear some room so you can add more people to the team. I mean, I know just talking to them at the combine, they want Dak to take a lesser deal so they can potentially build around.
Okay, I'm telling you. I'm going to stop you right there. Duh, some things ain't going to happen. Dak wants a market deal, whatever that is. He's not taking less, and you lying to yourself like me. When I passed them Oreos the other day and I said, hey, I'm just going to eat 3 of these. And my boy said, did you end up eating the whole sleeve? Yes or no? I said, you already know me, dog. I ate the whole sleeve. They're just lying. I lied to myself when I said I could just eat 3. They lying to themselves if they talk about, we Dak going to take a lesser deal. He's not.
Okay, but the bottom line is this. Let's talk about this. If I'm Dak, okay, say I take a lesser deal, what gives me hope, confidence that you're going to use that money to build around me when you haven't done that? You didn't do that early in my career, and you haven't done that, you know, early when the cap number's low on this deal. I mean,
amen to that.
Ding, ding, ding.
I said amen to all that.
You know, so why would I take less money when you haven't shown any?
Wait, what did you say?
You haven't done that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's exactly why I never advocate players taking less, for that very reason.
Yeah, they're not going to use that money that he don't get, for sure.
No, man. Because they'll tell somebody else, hey, you got to take a lesser deal. They ain't never took a lesser deal. They take all the money. So, but that's just bizarre to me if that's their thinking. And I have no reason to doubt Clarence E. Hill.
Oh, no, that's their thinking. Their thinking is Dak got all his money, and Dak get all his money off the field and endorsements. You know, Dak should take less. Now, less is relative. You know, they're not asking to take $20 million. You know, I mean, is it? Don't take 60, take 50. Okay, yeah, I don't know what's the deal. I don't know what less is always.
Now, we talked about this. We talked about this with Archer yesterday. If you look at the numbers, he should probably a market deal would be somewhere between like 52 and 55 a year. So you know if they you know. So I don't know what less is, like you say. So they say, hey, can you take a deal for 50? Would that be less? But anything less than that, I can't even see him thinking about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's not taking no deal in the 40s.
Well, exactly. You know, he does not take a deal in the 40s. And so, you know, what does that look like? And again, where is that money going to go to? Because you still have to paying CDs, they're already here. That's not building around them. You need to add to CD. You need to add to Micah. I keep always talking about, you know, it's just like Micah. You know, everybody, you know, Micah's a great pass rusher. But what greatness does he have around him? You look at what San Francisco is playing with and the players they have around Bosa and the people that continue. Right. It didn't work out with Chase, but they still were trying to get talent around Bosa. You know, and you look at what Philadelphia done, and they build around the defense line and the investments they made up front. What type of investments the Cowboys made around Micah?
That's a good point. You're full of good points today, man.
You know, so, you know, that's my issue, whatever. Well, Micah didn't do this, but he's getting double and triple teams. Somebody should be eating.
Right.
Well, they have Tank Lawrence and Dorrance Armstrong, but Dorrance Armstrong was gone. And that brings us back
to... Armstrong did not eat. He did not, I mean, listen, I love Dorrance. He's a great rotational player, solid player.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't nobody scared of Dorrance Armstrong.
Right. Yeah, but he was there. He was there.
He won. Like they didn't solid fear player. Him. Solid player. And again, you know, when nobody, you know, he wasn't a difference maker at all. And so they still need another, you know, bad mofo up front to go with Micah. And again, love D Law. But his best ability is stopping the run right now, not getting to the quarterback. I mean, Donald Strongsong has more sacks than him the past 2 years.
D Law sacrificed a lot of his stuff by lining up inside, though. You know, there's a lot of the way they use him was making his numbers go down, too. That's what I think, because he lined up inside a lot of times. He lined up at DT on third down a lot of times.
Well, yeah, they're just trying to get there because they think he can take it. They think he can take it, his speed can take advantage of an interior lineman and get to the quarterback. They were trying to help the quarterback as well.
It helped Micah, too. If you get both of them on the same side, they run game. But I ain't gonna get it.
That was the hope. But his numbers did not reflect them when they're running the game and Michael getting the attention.
You want me to tell you the interesting thing about it? In 17 and 18, D Law had 25 sacks.
Oh yes.
Since 18, he's had. Where is it at? 24 and a half. Think about that. In 17 and 18, he combined for 25 and a half sacks. 14 and a half, 10 and a half. In the 5 years after that, he's had 24 and a half sacks. Never more than 6.5 in a year.
Well, he had the foot injury. He had a foot injury, too.
He had shoulder injuries. Yeah. He's had a lot of injuries.
It's hard for him to change direction. When you watch him play, it's hard for him to change direction. And the foot injury still affect him. So, and plus playing him out of position, too.
But, you know what you're doing. You're making excuses.
No, I'm not making excuses. I'm giving reasons. I don't have to have. I don't. If he can't change direction and he playing inside, his numbers going to drop. He's sacrificing his game.
So, all we're doing is talking about production and what they're getting. And you're telling me why. Why don't matter at this point?
Yeah, why always matters.
Don't matter because at the end of the day, you need the production. This whole conversation was about the production, is all I'm saying.
If you're trying to interview somebody and they don't talk to your ass, you're going to ask why. If you don't get the interview, right? Is that an excuse or is there a reason why the guy didn't talk to you?
No, because my job's going to say you didn't get the interview, so no one cares why.
Oh, okay. If I got four flats on the truck, they're going to understand why I deliver that shit. And that's going to be the why.
It's gonna be the bottom line, though. If you don't get the money, or you don't get that business, and you lose that business because of that, it don't matter why. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying that.
You can't pick on me.
Okay, it's not a personal thing.
Not at all.
What I'm saying is though, is that I understand what you're saying, but at the end of the day, the defense needs help, needs production, and shoulder can't move. None of that matters at the end of the day. Because for the Cowboys defense, they're not getting that production from whoever.
I just look at it a little different. I look at it as a guy who could get them numbers, but he sacrifices himself for the defense because when they move him inside like that on third down, he's the reason why Darnell Armstrong. He can be selfish and stay his ass at right end or do something like that. But for the team, he moved around and he's playing a harder position. You line up inside, it's harder. To get them sacks, but he ain't Aaron Donald.
It ain't about 10 sacks. It's just getting, you know.
We're talking about two different things. I'm talking about technique. You talking about production.
Because the whole conversation was about production. And like I said, at the end of the day, they need more production from guys outside of Mike. And how do you get that? How do you do that? Who's going to step up and do that? And at the end of the day, you need Micah, CD, and Dak need help. They have not shown an ability to take lesser people and take them to the NFC Championship game. At the end of the day, that's the goal. That's what's on the table for this team this year and Mike McCarthy's last year. And at the end of the day, if this team right now doesn't have as much talent they had at the end of the season, they're going to add people in the draft. They may, you know, fill some of these holes, but what have they done to ensure that Mike McCarthy in the make-or-break season makes this team good enough to keep a job.
Which brings us back to your original point, which was an outstanding point. I don't know what they're doing to try to. I don't know if they're setting him up for failure, but I don't know if they ever giving him things that's gonna help him stay here. You know, that's, you know, it's the same. I'm saying the same thing, but damn. And when you said that, I agree with that 100%. What are they doing? What are they doing the same old thing?
Yeah, because they got a lot of holes, and I don't know. Yeah. You know, they're putting a lot of pressure on Will McClay in the scouting department and, you know, to fill him in a draft. And even if you draft good players, sometimes they take a year to develop, i.e. Mazi Smith, if he gets there this year. And so you just can't assume everybody steps in and plays, even though you need them to step in and play. So it's I don't know, it's an interesting year. It's a very interesting offseason. I have no idea how they're going to fill these holes. Now, I do trust that they seem to be able to put together a good team every year. But, boy, they leave you questioning how they're going to do it this year, because it just seems like they're not moving. And I'm telling you, if they're waiting for Dak to take a lesser deal, they're just wasting time. And then they're still going to get screwed on the deal anyway, and they're going to lose it like they did. You know, Dak might can't play in the playoffs, but he whipped their ass at the negotiating table. How about that?
Well, yeah, because he has all the leverage, because they're level. You know, the bottom line is they have no recourse, which was the case in 21 and really the case now, because they have not shown no interest in going back to searching for a quarterback, you know, and do you want to go back to those days between, you know, Troy Aikman and Tony Romo, you know, and we're looking at it, you see what's happening with the 22 draft class, a quarterback, the 21 draft class of quarterbacks. Just because you're going to draft one, don't you mean you're going to get one?
No, I mean, that's been my point the whole time, but I think, and maybe this is the problem, you can't be halfway. You either got to say Dak is the guy, we just got to deal with it and hope we surround him with enough to get there or not. But you can't be like, hey, we're going to save a little bit just in case. You got to commit. How about this? And go all in on your quarterback if you're going to go. You know, or go the other way and say, hey, we finna start that journey and hope that it ends quickly. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. You know, the whole thing is there's no guarantee. What's that stat I read the other day? Between 2019 and 21 and 23, I think it was 19 quarterbacks drafted, only two starters, Brock Purdy and Trevor Lawrence.
Right, and so Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
And people are questioning Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville.
I think that they're questioning how good he is. Like, is he an elite guy, or is he like that? He's a top 12 quarterback.
He's an elite guy. You remember him going back to Clemson? He's supposed to be that dude.
Nah.
He's sunshine.
I'm not disagreeing with you. With the long neck. Yeah, he's supposed to be that guy. And now they try to figure out, is he that guy?
Yeah, he's supposed to be that guy. Yeah, he's a starter, but is he what we thought he was? Is he Joe Burrow? Is he going to, you know, is he a franchise quarterback? They can lead us to the promised land. What's empty there? You know, it's time to find out. But yeah, so, you know, again, there is no guarantee. I don't care how pretty they look in college and all the stuff they do. And again, Trevor Lawrence was as can't miss as they came. You know, he started as a true freshman. I mean, he had size, he could run, great arm. You know, again, long hair. You know, he was going to be a cover. He was going to be everything.
Right.
He was can't miss as they come.
Yeah, you're supposed to be that dude. I mean, I'm not sure. He might be able to right the ship to me. I mean, he just played bad before. He played bad. In the damn playoff game, they beat the Chargers. That was supposed to be a loss right there. I mean, what did he do? Five picks that game,
right? And I think that's more than the Chargers, you know, blowing a 20-something halftime lead. But yeah, you know, that's what the Chargers do in the playoffs. But
yeah, he threw five picks, three to the same guy.
You know, so yeah, it's all of that. But yeah, so you know, so there is no guarantee, and that doesn't mean that you don't still go after those type of quarterbacks, but that's what you have to weigh when you're the Cowboys and where you are, because you do have a damn good quarterback. You do have a top 10 quarterback in this league who was a runner-up MVP last year. And if he does go free, he will get big money somewhere else.
Yeah, he will.
And he made Matt Stafford somewhere else and go get a title somewhere else if that's the case. Because, you know, as much as people always talk, well, Matt Stafford went and won. And, well, Matt Stafford also had Aaron Donald that won those games, too. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, he had some help, okay? He wasn't MVP those years, but Aaron Donald, you know, was that guy. So, I mean, all of that matters. It's, you know, football is such a team sport. You can't do it by yourself. You need playmakers on both sides of the ball as much as, you know, just like Patrick Mahomes needs Chris Jones and to do what he did in the Super Bowl, help him win those games. But, you know, you need players to step up. But, again, at some point this offseason, we got to find, and those are the questions we have to ask the Cowboys, because, you know, Jerry Jones says we're all in, and we're going to do things differently. Stephen Jones said we're going to do the same thing we've been doing. We've always been all in, and we like to build through the draft. The bottom line is, what have you done to position this team to take the next step? And, you know, I'm going to ask Mike McCarthy. I mean, and you know, we're going to talk to Mike McCarthy, and what are you confident in that this team can take the next step? You know, because last time we talked to Mike McCarthy, he wanted to keep Tony Pollard. You know,
right?
That didn't happen. You know, and so you have Rico Dowdle, one running back, and maybe a rookie. And they told us so many times at the end of the season, we have to be better running the ball and stopping the run. How is this team better running the ball and stopping the run at this point?
That's a good point. That's a good question. I think the thing that Clarence is good at, and he just mentioned it right there, and we've all done over the years, but right now he's really good at it, is you got to hold the people in control, Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, Mike McCarthy, accountable for what they say. Because a lot of times they just like to say stuff, and then 2.5 months later, 6 weeks later, they act like, what are you talking about? And so they say, no, you said this in, you know, February. Where are you at now? And when you hold them accountable like that, sometimes they get aggravated. But you're just trying to say, hey, you said this. I just want to see if you're sticking by it. And so I think it's good that you do that, because ultimately you're working for the fan base to let the fan base know what's going on with the team. Before we let you go, I have a question for you. Joe and I discussed this the other day. Do you care about the men's tournament, the women's tournament, or neither tournament?
Oh, I definitely care about the women's tournament.
Your daughter is a cheerleader.
The Texas is the number one seed, baby. Texas is the number one seed in the women's tournament. But beyond that.
Who is that? Who is that assistant coach at Texas?
Hey, man, you look at all that booty. You know, see, now you worried. Didn't you just say you was married, man?
I ain't dead. And I ain't talking about no damn. I ain't talking about no damn speedo. I'm talking about old girl. That assistant coach. That girl cold blooded. I'm sorry. That lady is cold blooded, man. Who am I talking about?
She's a brick house.
Yes, my goodness. There you go. But, I'm saying, I ain't dead. But, I'm married. But
I think that there's no question that there's more interest, intrigue in the women's tournament, because I can name more players in the women's bracket than I can in the men's. You know, dude, back in the day when we were growing up, I remember Jordan playing 2 and 3 years, and Elijah won, and you could really follow the men's game. You knew the players. These one and done, you don't know these guys. You know, and the guys that stay 4 and 5 years, they stay 4 and 5 years for a reason, because they not special. You know, right. The women's game, they have real stars. Mm-hmm. Real stars, mm-hmm, who have come back. Mm-hmm. And that we've talked about, we've been seeing all year and seeing a couple years. And they got freshman stars like Juju Watkins on USC, who are dynamite players. And, you know, you just looking at it, I was talking to, you know, my coworker the other day, and the women's tournament has already sold out their Final Four, sold more suits to tickets to their Final Four than the men sold to their Final Four.
All right. Now, they are playing at a much smaller venue.
I said more tickets. Yeah. I said more tickets. you know. And so, yeah, they're playing a smaller venue for sure. But the reason we started playing at bigger venues is mainly because they were selling out the Alamo Dome and all that stuff because of those big time names. You know, you're not getting that same interest because who are these teams? Who are these players? And even in the men's game, used to also go for the coaches. There are no headlining coaches in the men's game anymore. But this is Sefsky's gone and Roy Williams gone, and other, who are the top coaches in the men's game now? Right. You know, you still have Calipari, you still have Calipari, but he's not. He's to me, he's been a disappointment at Kentucky for all the hype that's surrounded his team and the players he gets. But you don't have those headlining coaches. He's won one.
Yeah, you got a lot of them coaches are gone.
Like he should have won.
You got Jim Boeheim and people like that. Yeah, they're gone.
You know, so you know, you don't have the type players. You don't have the headlining coaches. You know, what draws you to the men's game, mm-hmm. other than the bracket? You know, we go for the bracket. People are interested in the bracket because of the bracket upsets, and there's interest in the game because of the tournament because of the gambling aspect and the brackets and all that other stuff. But as far as the play, as far as the players, the women's game is much more exciting, much more intriguing, bigger storylines, everything else to go along with it.
No, I feel you on that. I agree with that, and I think that's probably right because I'm much more interested in the women's tournament than the men's tournament. Although I watch it because, you know, you get caught up in a little bit of March Madness, but it's not.
Just thinking of matchups. You want to see South Carolina? Just thinking of matchups. You want to see Iowa against LSU again. You know, you want to see South Carolina. There are no men's matchups. I can't wait to see that matchup. But there are matchups you anticipate in the women's Final Four.
Yeah. I think that part of it is the women's game has grown so much that Connecticut is a 3-seed. And you know, they used to be the gold standard, you know, for women's college basketball. And even LSU is a 3-seed this year. So they're getting better teams. They're getting more balanced. And so, no, it's fun to me. A lot of storylines, a lot of drama. And that's what we love about sports, heroes and villains. And women's college basketball got all of that and more. All right, my man, I appreciate you this morning. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy yourself in Orlando.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, man. That's Clancy Hill Jr. The E stands for every week. He going to bring that funk. I enjoy. Yeah, we're kind of saying the same thing, but the same different thing.
What do you mean?
You know, Clancy is always a bottom line guy. I believe in there are excuses and there are reasons. Excuse, in my definition, whether I'm talking to my kids or how about this? Whether I'm talking to my students at SMU, is this. When you use an excuse, you're saying, it's not my fault that this occurred because A, B, and C. I didn't turn in my homework because the dog ate it. That's an excuse. A reason is I didn't turn in my homework because I was sick with the flu. I had to go to the doctor. Here's my doctor's excuse. Here's the medicine I was taking. And here's a selfie of me looking like I'm half dead. That's a reason why I didn't turn in my homework. So there are excuses and there are reasons. Now, the bottom line is, of course, you did not turn in your homework. And so how you choose to view that, you know, is in the eye of the beholder. You know, so when you're talking about Tank Lawrence, you know, you can view it several different ways. The bottom line is he's had more sacks in 2 years than he's had in the last five. And you can say, here's the reasons why that occurred. And you know, it is what it is. It'd be interesting to talk to him and ask him that very question and see what his response would be. And his response would probably be a little bit of all of that because at his age now, 31, see, I would say he's an old 31 because he's had so many surgeries on his back and as a defensive end trying to get bend and movement.
Yep.
That takes its toll on you. And so that's probably limited him in that respect. That's it. You're still a really good player.
Yeah.
But they got to figure out more ways to get
him. What I was saying about his change of direction is that I bet he missed about four sacks last year because of his bad foot. Because guys would just kind of set him up a little bit and then take off on him. And that's just lateral movement right there. You know, that's just all it is. But he's still one of my favorite players, and I'm a little more emotionally – well, I'm a hell of a lot more emotionally invested in somebody like Tank Lawrence than y'all. So, yeah, I'm going to kind of ride or die with him a little bit. Plus, you know.
All right, that's cool.
It's all it is what it is.
Let's spend a little time talking about a guy who's been kind of an enigma the last few years. Is Kyrie Irving for the Dallas Mavericks, because he's hitting his stride at just the right time for the Mavericks. And, you know, Kyrie took so much grief. Some of it deserved, some of it not deserved. And I'll tell you why. He's made some controversial comments in the past. Some of it was anti-Semitic, although he says he was misunderstood when he made those comments. Some of it, I think he's made some statements, you know, that say he's got a different view of the world. In turn, I think he said he didn't believe dinosaurs existed or something like that. And so, you know, people criticize him for that. But this is what I find in general. And this is where I've made my niche in the journalism world. I'm gonna make a blanket statement like this. Most journalists don't spend enough time, for whatever reason, as we go back to the Clarence Joe argument, whether it's an excuse or whether it's a reason, most journalists don't spend enough time trying to get to understand and know the players that they cover. Meaning, they come in with preconceived notions, and if a guy doesn't want to talk to you right away, you say he's an asshole, and then you start slanting your coverage toward that. Okay, he didn't help me, so now every time he has a bad game, I'm gonna slant it where his bad game becomes an important part of the story. I'm the other way, and has always been the other way as a journalist. Part of the reason one of the reasons I was successful was I always looked at athletes as people, not athletes. That's a very subtle, nuanced difference. And so I always try to figure out what makes them tick. For example, a lot of people think DeMarco Murray is an aloof, seven-letter cuss word. And he can be. I always had a pretty good relationship with DeMarco Murray. Why? Because I understood he was aloof. I understood he didn't always want to be bothered. And the way I counteracted that was, what? I figured out what interested him. And I spent time talking to him about that. He was interested in MMA. He was also, I don't know how many of y'all know this, how many of y'all even care? He went to Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas, which is a big-time football power. Like, they're one of those national powers. And so I would talk to him about Bishop Gorman football. Who's the quarterback they had who went to Ohio State? A guy named Tate something. That's how he was supposed to be one of the best quarterbacks.
Yeah,
in the country.
Yeah, he played at about six schools. Yeah.
Yeah, because they did that little show on
quarterbacks. Tate Morrell or Morrell Tate. I can't remember. I know what you're talking about.
And he was featured. And I remember when I watched the show in part because he was featured. And he was coming. Tate Martelli. He was coming to Ohio State.
Yeah.
And I was like, this dude's a seven-letter cuss word. I don't even like him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why he didn't work. He was brash and thought he was this and that, and he really wasn't any of that. He was a product of being a good high school quarterback playing at elite school where you had an advantage over 99% of the teams that you played, because you had 22 Division I's, and they may have had 8 or 9, and it just became a numbers game. But anyway, I digress. But we talked about Bishop Gorman football. And we talked about MMA because he grew up in Vegas. So, hey, did you ever go to fights or something? Yeah, man, I got into MMA. Blah. So we're talking about MMA. So now when I talk to him about football, he's receptive about that because we've connected on another level. And so what I'm saying is I think too many times people don't take time to get to understand Kyrie and why he is the way he is or what his opinions are about certain things. And so, you know, you just get the surface instead of really understanding the man. And so I think in Dallas, and we've talked about this before, he's got a great relationship with Jason Kidd because he grew up idolizing Jason Kidd. He's got a great relationship with Nico Harrison, the GM, because he's known him since he was a kid on the Nike circuit, AAU, playing AAU ball when he was a teenager, 14, 15. So that's like 30 years he's known. I mean, 15 years he's known him. So he's got a comfort level with him. That has brought him, you know, a sense of relief. And then another guy on the team, assistant coach Guy Shamgod. I want to call him, for lack of a better word, the dribbling coach. He works with guys on handles and ball.
And a living living like legend.
That. Yeah, with his some of the things he did at Providence. Well, he's also a Muslim. And so right now they're dealing with Ramadan, which is the you know, the holy month for Islam. And what happens is they fast during this period. It's no food and no drink from sunup to sundown. And so he's been playing through that. And if you think about it, no food, no drink from sunup to sundown, and then you go out and play a basketball game. That's wild that you've been able to play at this level with that. And so I think it's worth noting that since Ramadan began on March 12th, the Mavericks are 3-1, but Kyrie has been averaging 27.8 points, 8.5 assists, 6.5 rebounds, shooting 53.8% from the field. My goodness. You know, he had the game win against Denver the other day. But I think it's just a note to the peace that he feels in Dallas. And that's why. Has there been any drama with Kyrie since he's been here, dog?
None.
Nope. None.
He ain't saying nothing. It's almost like you forget he's there sometimes.
Right. You know, you forget because Luka is such a big presence, you know, in terms of what he's doing. And it's interesting to me because this version of Kyrie, unlike when he was playing with LeBron and he was still trying to search for his name and prove that I'm one of the best and da-da-da, he's content with letting Luka run the show. And he's like every game, he kind of lets Luka dictate the pace and Luka does this. And then when Luka goes out, he takes over. Like at the start of the first fourth quarter, Luka's usually on the bench and Kyrie plays the first 3 or 4 minutes. And then Luka comes in, Kyrie goes out, and then they close it off together like the last 5 minutes. Well, during those 4 minutes, man, he takes over. It's a different Kyrie because he understands, oh, this is my time. The team needs me right now. Let me do my thing.
Man, he had come down like multiple possessions, like, and you don't mind. He'll shoot the ball 4 straight possessions. And it's like, so? Yeah. They all going in. It's crazy.
I think you have to, we all appreciate what Luka's doing, all right? Clearly. I mean, he's one of the top 2 or 3 players in the league. Kyrie ain't far behind him, y'all. And if you just watch the game and instead of, for once, don't focus just on Luka, watch Kyrie, my goodness. Like, I went to the Golden State game last week, and twice, maybe 3 times, I saw him in midair switch from his right to his left and throw it in off the glass. And the first time, I was like, damn! And the second time, I was like, oh, shit. He's, like, doing this, like, on the regular. And his skill level is absurd. If you just watch him, like I said, it's hard to take your eyes off of Luka. But just spend some time and some possessions just watching Kyrie, especially if Luka's not in the game. Man, please. And this is why I'm telling y'all, I don't know how far the Mavericks are going in the playoffs. No idea. I'm going to tell you this. I would not be shocked if they got beat in the first round. Not the play-in, but the first round. I would not be shocked if they made it to the Western Conference Finals. Now, I would be shocked if they got to the finals. But let me tell y'all something. There's not a team in the Western Conference that's going, oh, we get to play the Mavericks. Bring them boys on. No. Ain't nobody interested in playing the Mavericks, man. Nobody. Because they got 2 superstars. And now that they got Gafford at center, the team with Lively, they got an inside presence. They are a hard team to deal with. And they had that little lull. Now they found a little rhythm now. And they got a couple big games with Sacramento coming up. Because right now they're in 6th place in the West. They're like 1.5 games out of 5th place. 2.5 out of 4th place. So it's going to be a race to the end. But they're playing really good basketball now. Kyrie Irving's leading the way. And they're going to be, I think, a tough out in the playoffs. What do you think?
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine earlier this week, and I think this team reminds me of the Rolando Blackman, Mark Aguirre, Derek Harper. Nobody wanted to play them in the playoffs, but they was a good team, a great team. They had their superstars, and they gave you a lot of entertainment, but I don't know if I ever believed they was going to win the title. They pushed the Lakers a little bit, but I never thought they'd win the championship. Yeah. That's kind of how this team feels. This is a good team. I enjoy watching them. But I'm with you when you say Maybe they, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they went to the damn championship, the conference championship, like they did a couple years ago, or they get knocked out in the first round. It's just a good team. I know earlier this year you said they was a cute little team. I think they're a little more than that. I think they're a little more than that now that they found, now that they start feeding the post a little bit, and they kind of finding their rhythm. But man, it just reminds me of those teams that I loved in the '80s, where they was gonna give you the points and all of that. They was gonna go deep in the playoffs, but they probably wasn't gonna win. So that's just my take on it.
I feel you on that. But look for the Mavs. The home stretch is here, and I'm telling y'all, your boy Kyrie Irving is gonna have a big part of whether, you know, how deep did they go. We know what Luka's gonna do. But as Kyrie and Luka find their way together, because it can be hard for two superstars to play together. They're finding their way. They're understanding. They haven't had any injuries, so they've been able to play with each other for a minute and kind of find a little rhythm. Like I said, they're a dangerous team in the playoffs. And let's just keep an eye on them as we get closer and closer, because they still got another 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks to gel before the playoffs start. Now, let's take a quick trip around the block, my brother. The block this week, sponsored by my friends at Smokey John's Barbecue. 1820 West Market Burn. Food to live for. And it doesn't matter whether you're getting the ribs, the catfish, the chicken, the wings on Wednesday. It is all spectacular. My man Newey Scruggs went by there the other day, had the jam session bowl. He couldn't even finish half of it, man. Couldn't even finish half of it. I, trying to show discipline, had a rib sandwich. And so I ate 3 ribs and 1 piece of bread. Didn't eat the second piece of bread. And it wasn't because I didn't want to. It had Texas toast, man. Butter on both sides. Whew! I tried to show some discipline by not eating the second piece of bread.
That's pretty good.
But the jam session bowl that Newey had, man, he went with the mashed potato base as opposed to the mac and cheese that Joe tried. He went with the sausage and the brisket. And then all the stuff that they put on the loaded baked potato, man, from bacon bits and chives and sour cream and cheese and butter. Put all that stuff on top of it, man. And then Newey got the sauce on the side. And he ended up drenching it. You know, what can I say? It's either or. Whether you drizzle it or drench it, it's still delicious.
Yeah, hey, I ate it with no sauce, and it was still, it was great. But the macaroni and cheese, dog, I thought I was eating spicy macaroni. It was the sausage flavor being on the macaroni and cheese that made it spicy, which made it good. But I'm sorry,
it's all good, man. See, Joe having flashbacks, that thing. So
yeah, it was good.
But that's a jam session bowl. Knew he couldn't put a dent in it. Which is why I tell y'all, real talk now, it's enough for two, easy. And if you got a little shorty, all 3 of y'all can eat off of it. Real talk, that's how it goes down.
Yeah, me and my wife split a bowl. Yeah, and we ate.
She went home and ate the rest of it.
Yeah, she cleaned it up.
Didn't even
offer
your boy no leftovers.
Yeah.
But that's how it goes. That's a jam session bowl. It's only at Smokey John's Barbecue, and it's only on the secret menu. See, if you don't know, you don't know. That's why I'm telling you. It's there. It's available. You need to try it. You need to get some. Now, check this out. If you need Smokey John's in your life a little more immediately than that, you can't get there, hey, go to SmokeyJohns.com, click on the marketplace, and order the sauce or the rub right there, the rub. It's delicious. And get it sent to your crib in a couple days. If you need it like today, then check this out. Just swing by your local HEB. That's all you got to do. And go pick it up. It's on the shelves. H-E-B. Burleson, Waxahachie, Allen, McKinney, wherever H-E-B is, it's on the shelves. But that's a jam session bowl. And today, they're bringing you the block. My boys over there at Smokey John's Barbecue. I've been doing this a lot lately, dog. Don't judge me. But I have a fascination these days with relationships. And so I have spent a lot. I've discovered some things about relationships that I decided to share with y'all. And then because I think I've discovered it, I've been looking at these shows trying to figure out if my theories are correct. I'm headed to the point. So I've been watching, I done told you, don't judge me. I've been watching Married at First Sight on Lifetime. I've been watching it in part because I'm working on a project, and sometimes I need something mindless on TV that I don't have to spend a lot of time concentrating on to watch while I'm working, because some of the work I'm doing is kind of tedious. And Married at First Sight, have you ever seen that show, bro?
No. I've seen in the 90 Day stuff and a little bit of that, but no, not no Married at First Sight. Let me give you
the premise. The premise is three expert psychologists get a pool of people, like hundreds of people, and they try to, these are people who want to be married and have been dating for a long time and haven't been able to connect on the right person. A lot of them, like many people, have been in a bunch of relationships and none of them have ended in marriage, and they're exasperated and they say, I'm going to turn myself over to experts. And so these experts look at your profile and all this other stuff, all this other data, and say, based on this set of criteria that you say you want in a spouse, and this set of criteria that the other person says they want in a spouse, and then your personalities, and then we match y'all together, and we see if we can get a match, and that you guys can live happily ever after. All right, so that's the premise. And sometimes the matches work, and sometimes they don't. But one of the things I've been looking at, and I don't think I'm breaking any news here. I think I'm just cognizant of it, and so I'm sharing it with y'all who are still single. And more importantly, to me, even if you're not single, it's information you can give to your kids. So this is just me. I'm interested to hear what you think, because you're a logical person. This is what I told my son the other day, based off of my own experience and what I've been seeing on these shows and how I've been kind of guessing what's going on or what will happen, so to speak. I think once you figure out, okay, I think I'm serious about this person, I think if you examine that person's relationship, if you're a guy, if you're a man, look at your girlfriend's relationship with her mother, the relationship with her father, and then the relationship with her parents. Now, that's a lot to look at, but that's three different things. That will tell you almost everything you need to know about her in terms of how she will handle certain things, because our parents shape us for the most part. There are always outliers, okay? So there's no foolproof method. But a lot of time, if you look at that, you can really determine how a person will behave. Because why? They're just mimicking the behavior that they've seen as kids or that was reinforced to them as kids, which is normal. We all kind of do that. But I was looking at one show the other day, and this guy was a dialysis technician. And he lived at home with his grandmother because he was trying to pay for school and some other stuff. He was close to 30. And he had been raised by his grandmother and his mother and his aunt. And I was just thinking, like, that's being raised by a lot of women who have been taking care of him. I bet he's going to expect his wife to do nothing but take care of him, because that's what he used to. And lo and behold, that's what happened. And so I was just thinking that as you deal with relationships and you try to work through them and find the person you want to spend the rest of your life with, you just have to figure out what makes them tick. Now, does any of that make sense to you? You buy any of that?
Nah, I don't necessarily. I mean, I can see the logic in it, but I don't necessarily agree with it, because I was raised, my dad is totally, me and my dad are two totally different people. You know, whereas he was absentee, I'm not. I love being my kid's father. You know, I love that part. I don't like the parenting part where I got to kick somebody's ass because they did something wrong, but I do like the dad part. Where, you know, I teach you and we love each other and we happy and all of that. And my dad's never said, I love you before. I tell my kids that all the time. So I'm not mimicking him.
Okay, check this out. Okay, let me tell y'all how this works to me. This is just how it works to me. Everything Joe just said, I do almost the same exact thing. You know why? I just said when you look at that relationship, it'll give you insight into it. Because what did Joe do? He did the same thing I did. Now, my relationship with my dad is different. My relationship with my parents were divorced, and my dad lived in another state before FaceTime. And so we used to go see my dad every summer, literally from the day school was out until the day school started, until the weekend before school started again. And so my dad never got to go to any of my games. He never got to go play catch with me. He never got to pick me up, take me home from school. So what did I do? I did all that stuff that he wasn't available to do, which makes sense. Because to me, when I say look at that relationship, so if I'm a woman, I'm looking at Joe's relationship with his dad, I say, well, one of two things will happen. He'll either be like his dad, or he'll be emotionally absent. Or he'll be the opposite of his dad, which is he'll be loving and caring and all the things that his dad wasn't. Now I just need to figure out which one he is. Yeah, and then I can react off of that.
So, you got more than, well, go see, here's the thing. I have his hands. I have sometimes my voice sound like his, but I should have been named Wanda Jr., which is my mom. See, he didn't make the games, but she made every game. Part of it. Or all of it. She worked two jobs, but she was always either there. By halftime, she was at the game. Starting my first kickoff to the last kickoff. You know, she was at the game for me and my brother. That is my legacy. You know, that's the legacy she passed down. That's what I'm passing down. Is that you're going to be there. Right. If you playing a game, damn it, I'm doing what I can to be there. Hell, back in the day, I drove the truck up to the. I coached the game in my uniform. I drove the truck. My truck parked it at the damn stadium. Got out in my boots and my uniform and coached. You know, and drove them people their truck back. But I'm just saying, it's just one of them things. I don't know if you can look at the parents and see, because some people, so like you say, some people do the opposite. But
listen to me. Make sure you understand.
I understand what you're saying.
This is not how they'll act. It's just an introspective look into what you. There's a good chance you're going to get some aspect of it.
I think if you study it, you understand how they work.
Go ahead.
I think the younger you are, the less of that stuff you look at. I think I met my wife when I was 19, and I had enough girlfriends and all that to know this one right here. That's going to be me right there. Because I'm going to tell you, first of all, she was fine as hell. She's still fine as hell, but she was fine. So everything after that, I don't know, it's kind of up in the air. I'll deal with it. But that's when you're young. You understand? That's when you're a young guy, when you grow to be with somebody. The older you get, the more security clearance, as we say, or credit check that somebody going to get.
Yeah.
I didn't give a damn when I was 19 years old. Her mom was cool. I probably had one of the best mother-in-laws of all time. You know, straightened my ass out a couple of times. Didn't get in my business. Very smart, very loving. You know, she was cool as hell. So, plus some of these nightmares that people go through. But what I'm saying is, Mia Hartfield. Oh my God, yeah, she was. Yeah, after that, I don't know about all that other stuff. I don't know. I know what you're saying, but relationships, I wasn't that deep. And we've grown together, you know. I was going to say some smart ass shit about I'm about to get into a relationship with a Mossberg 940 tactical shotgun, but I'm thinking about it. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I'm not sure. That's the kind of relationships I'm talking about.
We might talk about your love of guns and Block coming up this weekend.
I don't know. It's possible.
It's clear you're passionate about it.
Well, I try to stay away from that stuff, but then I got friends that be like, hey, man, have you seen this? Nah, man, I don't want to talk about that.
Why you try to stay away from
it? Huh?
Why?
Because they're expensive. Because you buy one, you're going to buy three. Whatever. So what are you talking about? That's why.
That's what it is. It's your hobby and passion. No, I got 100 pair of Nikes.
That's you. No, Nikes don't cost the same thing as a shotgun. Not at all.
You get 100 pair, you can work yourself up. But anyway, that's our trip around the block this week. It's relationships. We all in them. Most of us still all trying to figure them out. But, you know, we appreciate y'all very much. Go to the YouTube channel at The Real Jacques Talk. Please subscribe, rate, review. Leave us a comment. Show us you're paying attention. We got some big things going on in May that we'll tell you about coming up soon. We're working on them today, as a matter of fact, some of it. You can follow us on the IG at The Real Jacques Talk. You can hit me on Twitter at JJT Journalist. Remember, if you think you follow me, you probably don't. My account was compromised. Yes, and I had to start a new one. That sucks. Trust me. But anyway, I am Jean-Jacques Taylor's the handle at JJT Journalist. For Big Joe and the Big Rig, we always appreciate you. Until we chat again, you guys be blessed.